Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
Definitely a little lock up there as we go into the last 4 hours from that number 31. That was a great recovery from the driver of that 31. Who did we put in that car? That was Tristan Nunes, wasn't it? And he steered out, Jeremy. They've all steered out to the 8 hour mark.
Indeed so. They should be coming across the line any moment now. Will Stevens, if he stays out, which he does, and he will take the maximum points for this point of the race. Number 60 car is in the pits, but is not going to get those third place points, I don't believe, in Michelin Endurance Cup. I think it would be the number 31 car that gets that third place points, with the number 60 car ducking into pit lane.
Last lap after the 4 hour mark, Jeremy. So you're spot on there. 24 lap stint for Will Stevens in the Konica Minolta Acura this time around. Now the first three were under yellow, but that's still pretty good going.
A great fuel stint save there for Will Stevens. Good pace,
clever
as well.
Clever.
Yeah, and he's managed that right from the beginning, I think, to make sure
spot
that he
on
had enough fuel to get there. He'll be in next time around, I am sure. But it's interesting that he's able to keep going that one more lap, and Oliver Jarvis, number 60 car, is not. Both
the other
Acuras.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then again, as we've said before, you can't be told with 10 laps to go, save your tyres or save your fuel. You've got to know that as you roll out the pit lane, what you're aiming for. Through to turn 16. Here's the battle for the lead. Are we going to get a pass for the lead before one or either of them pull into the pit lane there? Richard Westbrook's coming to complete his 21st lap, 25 laps when Will Stevenson crosses the line. They're down towards crosses the line down towards turn 17. Richard Westbrook with target acquired. He'll be loving this. Westy loves a challenge, and he will take the lead because the Acura pulls to the right and into the pit lane as they go through to complete lap 224 with just under 8 hours to go. So, Jeremy, you were spot on. That was brilliant tactics and driving by, well, it's Wayne Taylor. Do I really need to say any more? But the plan was executed to perfection by Will Stevens.
It was absolutely perfectly there. Really, really nice job. He gets the maximum points for the 8 hour mark in this race. And coming into this weekend, the number 10 car was in second place, 2 points behind the number 60. So they will gain 3 points on the number 60 on this at the 8 hour mark in the race. So I think that'll move them into the lead. When the official results come out, there's no point in they should be out in a few minutes' time.
Yes.
But I think that's going to be enough to move them into the lead. Number 31 car will get, I think, third place points, so they won't make any more progress. But I think number 10 car will probably lead the standings going into the before the end of the race, where the points are awarded next.
And at the end of the race, we'll have Michelin Post Race Tech. Hashtag Michelin PRT at IMSA Radio. Some reaction from the drivers as well as they're heading towards or hanging around the podium. Once we've heard from the winners in our main race show for you in sound and vision. So under 4 hours to go now. The weather has played its part here. Haven't had full sunshine all the time. Bit of overcast earlier on. Sun's been back and forth, but it's been pleasant for the last couple of 3 hours. Still one or two bits and pieces of cloud, but nothing too threatening here at the Sebring International Raceway. It's Jeremy Shaw and John Hindhoff at the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. Joe Bradley is down in the pit lane as Shea takes a well-deserved break from the action. And in the pit lane, Richard Westbrook for JDC Miller Motorsports with his Cadillac. on lap 2:25 completed. The door is open, but I didn't see if Westy got out. I'll tell you in a second when I get a decent look. Wheels going on. No hurry here, of course, because the fuel is the determining factor of when the car is going to go, so you can take your time and make sure it's right. Perfectly done. And heading down towards the end of the pit lane as that grey car goes out, and Richard Westbrook has stayed in the car. Cameron Kobayashi, by the way, behind the wheel of the Allied Cadillac, was scored in second last time around. Let's see what the actual gap is. It's 12 seconds, so it'll be a little less than that because he's up to speed. Mike Conway through as well. It's all tightening back up again at the front of the field. In LMP2, Scott Huffaker for PR1 Matheson Motorsport. In a PR1, 1-2. The 52, Paul Sutton car from the number 11, Jonathan Bomarito in second. 30 seconds between them. Kyle Tilley a little bit further back. What, another 20 seconds further back for the blue Aero Motorsport car. LMP3, Matthew Jakobsen, Sean Creech Motorsport. Now 8.5 seconds after that brilliant pass. Garrett Grist in second for Junior 3 Racing. Riley Motorsports in third for Kai Van Berlo. Lost the lead and dropped down to third position. Nicky Katzberg, Corvette Racing. Number 3 leads Nick Yellerly by 2.5 seconds. And then it's another 10 seconds back to Andrea Caldarelli for Lamborghini and TR3 Racing, the number 63 car. In GTD, Jordan Pepper for Inception Racing. Seems to have been out there a long time. He's doing a nice job. Oh, my goodness. This is a huge, huge thing at the front of the field. Will Stevens, after doing it all absolutely right, as he left the pit lane, he missed the RFID reader for the Michelin tyres. You've got to drive through the area. There's big signs, blue and yellow signs. That's going to be a drive-through. That is extraordinary. How did he manage that? It's right in front of him. Now, that is a really weird thing to do. Let me finish the GTD rundown. Jordan Pepper, Tony Philander for EF Courses, right on his tailpipes. And 4 seconds further back, Michael De Casada for Allegra is the next car back. So, out of the pit lane, nice burnout. He's heading towards the exit, and he just went to the right for no apparent reason.
Went through the penalty box.
He's gone through the penalty box. He knew it straight away. He knew it straight away. He glanced across to his left and tried to jink. So he knows he's done that. That's going to be a drive-through. Wow.
Gosh.
Wow, what a weird race this has been. The Acura goes out the pits for Wayne Taylor Racing. That one does go through the signed gap. And that is extraordinary. Porsche keys to the race. No mistakes or penalties. Well, that's the first time we've seen that one, Jeremy. I keep seeing that they're finding ways to penalise themselves, missing the RFID reader going out of the pit lane. Oh! So, Jeremy, how's it all going now? Third of the race to go. Plenty of action still to come, I feel, here.
Absolutely wide open. No question about it. There is nothing to choose between these 6 prototype cars. They're all lapping very similar lap times, all within a few tenths of each other. Literally, very, very close indeed. Anybody can win this race. It's going to come down to who makes the least mistakes, and that is a bad mistake there for Will Stevens to make. Very strange. I mean, he was obviously, he must have been kind of looking down at the dash or something and not concentrating. He'd done everything right to get out of the pit box. Maybe he was resetting something on the steering wheel.
Yeah.
And by the time when he looked up, he had a choice of going either left or right, and he chose right. If he'd gone left, he'd have gone through the RFID reader. Unfortunately, he went into the penalty box. The good news is he doesn't have to come into the penalty box again. He just had to serve that drive-through. Has now been done. But he's now at the back of the pack, I think, in DPI.
Well, that is amazing. Kamui Kobayashi leads then the Toyota Gazoo Racing team manager. Hello to Duncan Vincent up in Scotland. Thanks for your support. Been preparing a birthday party for his 14-year-old, Duncan. Guy cannot be 14. Making me feel old. Don't know how that makes you feel, sir. And congratulations on the recent news that you are going to be filling some very big shoes, literally, with Fred Clark stepping away from British Superbike commentary. And Duncan Vincent will be taking over BSB Radio in the UK. Spin for the number 93 Acura at turn three. That's been one of the action areas, hasn't it? That's one of the GTD Pro cars, the red and white machine.
Ashton Harrison needs to get that car going again in order not to to lose a lap.
Has
turn
done.
Three, isn't it? I think she's still on the lead lap. She was 47 seconds behind the leader in GTD Pro. Probably cost her 10 or so seconds there. So she's still, you know, got plenty of time in hand.
That is the number three Corvette, isn't it? That is the leader there. So she's going down to turn 10 at the moment. And the Corvette is just coming into turn 17. So, yeah, comfortably still on the lead lap. In GTD, we've got a new class leader as well. That is the Tony Wielander driven AF Corsa. Jordan Pepper in second and Michael Di Casada in third position. So AF Corsa cycling to the head of GTD, and I think that's the first time that car, the 21 car, has led that category. Let's go down to Joe Bradley, who's at PR1 Matheson Motorsport, first and second in LMP2.
I've got Josh Pearson, who's down to drive the number 11. Josh, yesterday you won your first World Endurance Championship round. You haven't even had a chance to celebrate. You're straight back at work the next day.
Yeah, you know, I think the win yesterday was great, but we've really had to switch focus here for IMSA now. So celebrations come later. We got a race to win first.
And is that exactly what you've done, is it? You've just switched that off. Yesterday you were running with United Autosports. You won the round. Here you are racing against United Autosport today. You're a completely different mindset, is it?
Yeah, you know, you definitely got to switch your mindset. But I think overall it's in the rearview mirror, but we're still going to come back to it, you know, and celebrate it. But we got to focus on this first and see what we can do here.
Well, you're in contention here, Josh. Give us a bit of an idea. We're into the final third of this event, so, you know, where do you see it going?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say right now, but we got a strategy and we're going to stick to it.
That's a very conservative answer. Josh, I'll leave you to it. I know you're preparing. You've got your wrist straps on, and you got. So you're in the car very shortly. Yeah, he gives me the thumbs up. So Josh Pearson getting ready to take over that number 11.
Ashton Harrison, Henry had help there from the Wright Motorsports number 16 Porsche. Ooh. They'll be having a look at that. And yeah, indeed, that is under review. That was Jan Heerlen in that car, trying a little bit of a fight back after that differential problem that put that car behind the wall earlier on. Yeah. Still a little happy smiley face on the front of the number 93 Racers Edge Motorsport NSX GT3.
I don't think there'd be a happy smiley face behind the cockpit, though.
No, I do not. Ashley was doing absolutely nothing wrong there, and that was not a battle for position. Jan Heerlen many laps down. Yes, of course, he wants to get the car as far up the field as possible, but that was the very definition of a low percentage lunge. Kanwi Kobayashi leads the motor race. 3¾ hours to go. Coming round to 6:30, 25 minutes past six here. So the shadows are beginning to lengthen. We're about an hour away from official sunset, maybe a little bit more. But it is starting to now. The sun will be shining in the eyes. You can see the shadows right behind the cars lengthening out. And that means the sun will be playing its part down into turn 17.
Absolutely head on, was it? Dead square behind.
Yeah.
Really tricky conditions right now. Heading into 17, also heading into turn 7, the hairpin as well, the sun right in your eyes there. It's a little bit better in 17. Well, scratch that. It's really difficult.
Rob Furriol was saying yesterday when he was in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre with us, it's not always when the sun's right in your eyes, it's when it's across the windscreen. If you've got any scratches or dents or anything like that. Oh, there's just been a spin by the 31 Mike Conway. That car getting a little frisky on him coming out of the carousel by the Palm Colonnades. And spun across to the driver's left-hand side of the track. He's got it back under control. Yeah, Rob Ferriol was saying, you know, if you've got any nicks or defects in the windscreen, or they haven't put the tear-offs on, absolutely right. Sun coming at an angle on that when it's low. It's the height of the sun as much as the direction. But when it's across there, sometimes it's just completely opaque. Yeah. And that's as bad as if you're driving straight into it. So all of these things have to be done correctly. There'll be possibly seven, of the clear plastic tear-offs applied to the windscreen. And these windscreens are not flat, they are curved. And there's a real skill of getting those layered on with the little tabs so that the mechanics can pull them off one at a time to keep the windscreen clean.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. That spin for Mike Conway, by the way, cost him almost exactly 10 seconds.
Wow, really?
Yeah, not as bad as the 40-odd seconds that was cost by the extra drive-through penalty for car number 10, but still, time you don't want to be giving away at any stage in a race, particularly which you're in the final 4 hours. Meanwhile, out front, Kamui Kobayashi just doing a stellar job at the wheel of that number 48 Ally Cadillac. He's the lead over second place. It's coming down a little bit because Earl Bamber in the 0-2 Cadillac is now less than 8 seconds behind. Not so long ago, it was 12 seconds between them. And he's sort of dragging Richard Westbrook with him as well. There's a gap of about 10 seconds back to Ollie Jarvis in the Daytona-winning Meyer Shank racing with Kerbager Jenny in Acura. Meanwhile,
by the way, that was a penalty for the right Porsche.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's been served already. No point in trying to argue that one, I think. That was what can only be called luggage that has been opened and indeed shut. 62 Rissi Competizione Ferrari, after those problems early on where they lost the better part of what, 7 or 8 laps, it's been charging along. Daniel Serra. Oh, I hear a big spin out on the circuit. It's on the far side, and it is the. Oh. Again, it's been an awful race for the Aston Martins.
No, it's running in fourth place.
Yes, for the Aston Martins. And the 44 car has got up to. The Magnus Racing car has got up to fourth place, and there's damage to the right front. It's spun off at turn 15, I think, or 16.
Yeah, he was having a big battle, had been doing for quite a long time, with Stephen McAleer in the Mercedes for Gilbert Courthope Motorsports. That's car number 32. Don't know whether they got together, but for quite a few laps they've been battling away nose to tail.
Ah. Well, there was all sorts of things going on there.
Yeah.
There is damage on the front, and that is a real problem for that car. I think they might have to come in and get that piece of damaged bodywork pulled off. It's a bit of a... You might get the meatball flag for that. Going around turn one now. Car 70 taking a penalty. Ooh. Too many people over the wall. Ooh. My goodness.
That car was
Inception
second.
Inception Racing, yes.
It was second before that latest pit stop where Jordan Pepper handed over to Brendan Aribe, who's back at the wheel of that number 70 McLaren at the moment.
Let's go down to Reha Letterman Lanigan as the Kamui Kobayashi leading car is in the pit lane. We'll just see that go out. He's dropped down to third already. Earl Bamber leads for the 0-2. He's gone through. JDC Miller in second with Richard Westbrook, and Kamui Kobayashi is rolling again. Reha Letterman Lanigan, it is a BMW M Team RLL, recognising 50 years of the M brand for BMW. Director of Racing Operations is Piers Phillips.
Piers, last time we spoke at Daytona, your head was in your hands and we were scratching it, trying to find out what was wrong with these diffusers. That seems to have gone away. And you were right in contention there, car in the lead in parts of this race.
No, absolutely. I think it's... So far for us as a team, it's been a good race. Obviously, we had one car that had some issues earlier on, which has dropped it out of contention, but it's back and running again, and both cars are really competitive. They're on the pace, the drivers are happy, so, you know, we've got that car at the front, and we're in with a chance, so we're fighting hard.
And what happened with the 25? Because that was in contention. And we heard power steering.
It had a power steering issue, yes. So we don't know what it was yet because we obviously, you know, haven't had a chance to strip the parts. But needed a steering rack change, which we did back, which obviously cost us a load of time. But, you know, new car development years, we've talked about at Daytona. But we're fighting again. And, you know, as you can see, the usual contenders are right at the front and everyone's punching hard.
Now, we've heard that you are going down to one car for the rest of the IMSA season. And that's so you can focus one half of the team, I would imagine, on the LMDH program. What can you tell us about that?
No, well, absolutely. I mean, our job with the M4 is really a development year for us and us to help our customers, you know, that whether it's Miller or Turner or whoever. But yes, we go down to one car, unfortunately, after this event. But that half of the team is off into LMDH land, GTP land, and building the first test car. So we're obviously very excited about that and the future that lies ahead.
Is it Dallara that you are partnering with for that chassis?
Yes, BMW, Dallara, and obviously RLL is the race team. So our guys get to go to Italy and drink some wine, eat some pasta, and build some beautiful race cars.
You must be, knowing you as I do, you must be really looking forward to getting to the Premier class.
No, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of people in the team have been there before in various different programs, and we've all got our eyes open. We've all been there. We know that this isn't going to be a race series. You're going to go to war every weekend. You know, when you look at the size of the teams and the manufacturers, and you know, I tell people about the gravity of the effort that we, you know, the guys in Munich are putting in, the guys in Verano are putting in, and the guys here and guys and girls here at RLL. So it's who doesn't want to be there? Who doesn't want to be at the front? You know, fighting with the world's best for top honours.
Piers, you've been around a long time, involved in manufacturer involvement in motorsport for many, many years. Have you ever seen such a collaboration between the OEMs to achieve kind of a common value?
Well, first of all, are you saying I'm old?
We're both old, mate. We've been around a lot.
No, absolutely right. I mean, you look at the spine of a new GTP car and all the different people that are involved and all the different companies. And, you know, the world's changed a lot, you know, over the past few years. And it's a very sort of encouraging, it's a very enlightening place to be. And seeing all these different companies, different manufacturers, different nationalities working together, it's a really great place to be.
How long do you think before we start putting our competitive heads on and like start to compete against one another and that cooperation starts to evolve? Once we get this thing on the road, I'm sure BMW wants to beat everybody else.
It's started already.
Has it really?
Oh, yeah.
So there's collaboration, but...
Oh, yes, the competition and the ferocity of and the importance of the programmes, it's started already.
I can't wait. Thanks, mate.
You can see everybody snarling at each other as they walk up and down the pit lane, but no, it's something that, you know, I think it's going to take sports car racing into a new era globally. So it's going to be awesome.
Hopefully we're not too old not to be there as well. It's only next year, isn't it?
No, we'll be there. We're going to be here for a long time.
Great stuff. Thanks, mate.
President of Racing Operations for Rahal Letterman Lanigan, Piers Phillips, talking to Joe Bradley. And of course the collaboration that Joe was talking about there was General Motors also having Dallara build their LMDH, so that is going to be basically the same car. Jeremy.
And at that same time, here comes that number 24 BMW onto pit lane from the lead in GTG Pro with the number 3 car, the Corvette that was leading, having come in the previous lap. Also in the previous lap was number 63 Lamborghini, the number 9 Pfaff Porsche, the number 79 Porsche for WeatherTech, and the number 93 Acura for Racer's Edge.
So yeah, this looks
is
like this full.
The 14 car is that's in the pits as well. So that's the last of the leaders to pit in GT Pro.
So Nick Yellerly has got out of that car. Joe Bradley is still down there at BMW M Team RLL. So he may be able to tell us who got in that car. In fact, he's already moved down to Corvette. I'll tell you, Corvette's coming down to the final corner. So he'll peel in a moment. About an hour to sunset. So, the Corvette's already pitted, excuse me.
Yeah, that was so in just the previous lap.
Yeah, so waiting for that car to come through. This is going to be tight, actually. There's the Corvette going through and takes the position goes through and back into the lead of GTD Pro as Joe Bradley can pass that on to Nicky Kasberg.
Nicky, standing from where I usually stand, I didn't expect the Corvette to be in contention for the lead for as long as it has been.
No, to be honest, at the start of the weekend, we also thought it was going to be quite difficult. Fortunately, we had a bit of a BOP break, which brought us right back into contention, and it's definitely not easy. We're struggling to kind of do the pace that we're doing, as you might see on my red face. But it's been good fun out there, and it's very nice to be able again to fight for the podium, unlike Daytona. So very good to be back.
We're almost at that golden hour, or golden 2 hours, at the Sebring 12 hours, where the sun's going down, the track's cooling off, and the cars begin to come into their own. Everybody's been focusing on the final 2 hours of the race. Is it the same at Corvette?
Yeah, it's definitely the same. I mean, you just have to stay in the mix. You cannot take too much risk, and you have to make sure that you're there for the last 2 hours. We will have Jordan and Antonio in the car, which are the right guys for the job, so cannot wait actually to sit and relax and see them race, win this race, hopefully.
I hope so. I hope so too. Big Corvette fan. So your day is done. You can get out of these wet overalls.
Yeah, I think I did 3.5 hours in a row now, so I'm kind of done.
Yeah, you deserve to be out of these overalls. I'm going to not stop you, Nicky Kasberg. Who would have thought, John, at the beginning of the week that Corvette would be in contention?
Well,
I know we did. We didn't, did we?
Well, that mid-event BOP change certainly did make a difference. It's put them back in contention. Everybody's working hard here. All of the drivers that you and Shea have talked to both yesterday and today sound like they've had a workout. 3.5 hours there for Nicky Kasberg. That is a yeoman's work for him. And now the two full season drivers have been left to take that car to the end of the race. It's dropped John Taylor, still leading, of course, by about 5 seconds for Marco Wittmann. And another 8 seconds further back, the TR3. So it's BMW, Lamborghini, Lexus, Mercedes, Porsche in the top six of GTD Pro. And, you know, I wasn't certain whether GTD Pro would work. We had, 13 cars at the Rolex 24. And the vast majority of them have come back. We're not going to have them for the whole year. That's fine. But this is the manufacturers finding their feet with this new category at the top of GTD racing. And their factory drivers finding their feet as well. IMSA adopting GT3 and really running with it. And you've only got to look at the GT lineup in this field with... what have we had in terms of the numbers? We started with 11 at GTD Pros and 17 GTM, so just under 30 cars. I think you've got to say, Jeremy, that that has been a success. Hello to Ken Marth, who's got a great setup. Not sure where you are in the world, Ken, but that's a lovely setup to see. And tuned in, watching and listening via the world feed at IMSA Radio if you want to get in touch with us. And don't forget, if you want to send a question or a comment for Michelin Post Race Tech, it's at IMSA Radio and use hashtag Michelin PRT. 3.5 hours to go. 3.5 hectic hours. You've got to think so, haven't you? 20 minutes before 7 o'clock. Wherever that you are in the world or round the circuit, SiriusXM 206, Highland's best country, given over to this race today. WWOJ 99.1 FM and News Talk 7:30 and their new FM frequency on 95.3. Thanks to the Highlands Radio Group for again syndicating our live feed in this part of the world. Still plenty of people trackside as well. See, BMW dives down the inside of one of the LMP3s. That's the number 40 car. Sean Creech Motorsport follows him through the number 33. That was neat for Malte Jakobsen.
Yeah, the class leader in LMP3.
Those LMP3 cars are They look a lot of fun, Jeremy. Yes, they're a downforce car, but quite clearly you can throw those cars around. They do slide quite a lot, which surprised me when I first saw them racing. Corvette leading, Jordan Taylor from Marco Wittmann now. That's a 6 second gap, and a similar size gap back to Marco Mappelli in the 63, the green TR racing car. And Marco's just put his best first sector. That's basically nailing turn one. 11 and a half seconds. Not a soul has moved. And why would you? With 3.5 hours of some of the best endurance racing on one of the most historic circuits that you'll see anywhere in the world. Been a fabulous festival of endurance racing this week with Porsche Carrera Cup North America, presented by Visit Cayman Islands, with the Michelin Pilot Challenge on Thursday. What a race that was in the end. With effectively a green-white checker for the Alan J Automotive Networks 120. Local automotive group being big supporter of racing here at Sebring down through the years, and delighted to have them back on the bill for us this year. And then, of course, the FIA World Endurance Championship opener for their 10th season yesterday, before the headline event, the Mobile One 12 Hours of Sebring, presented by Advance Auto Parts.
Have a guess who's leading in GTD.
I just said that and I forgot.
Oh, did you?
Yes, and I've immediately got out of my mind.
Bill Oberlin.
Yeah. No, I hadn't said that. No, I hadn't. So awesome, Bill Oberlin. Bill Power. It was the Ferrari the last time that I looked at that, the 21 car. Yeah. So this is the 500th race start for BMW. He's in the Liqui Moly Turner Motorsport BMW M3 GTE. Well, $499 yesterday, $500 today. What a milestone for surely one of America's greatest sports car and endurance drivers in terms of what he's driven and how long he's been with the same manufacturer. Remember him back in the BMW V12 LMR days, the prototypes, that big flip at what is now Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta. Joe Bradley, who interviewed him yesterday on his 499th start, was the first person to speak to him when he came back to the paddock at Road Atlanta after that airborne moment. And amazingly, Bill was lucid and able to describe in great detail what happened to him there. I'll never forget that. Delighted to say that once again joining us from the NTE Sport Lamborghini.
Well,
is,
no, actually.
Well, yes, that's where it should
good
be.
Good news and bad news.
Yes. Jaden Conright, the Diversity Scholarship winner for IMSA, should be in the NTE Sport Lambo. What happened, Jaden?
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to see you both here. Unfortunately, maybe not under these circumstances, but we were just running a race, kind of just being quick, consistent, getting Donna's drive time, getting it through. And unfortunately, we had a contact with, one of the McLarens, and unfortunately, our clutch got damaged during that, and it's unrepairable, so we had to retire.
It didn't look that big a hit. It was a turn 17, but it was hit square. The car was hit square from behind you. It wasn't you that was in the car, was it?
No, I actually was resting, getting ready for my stint because I was supposed to double after, and I just woke up because I heard the car rolling back. I was in the office trying to stay cool and keep myself rested for the stint. But, I think it was less of the actual contact that did the damage. It was just that going into 17, it's so bumpy, and just the way the car went in as it started sliding, got sideways, probably just bounced, hit some of the bumps, and some kind of shock went through the drivetrain, and unfortunately, the clutch went there, and you could hear it on the video. It's just spinning, and he limped it back to the pits. So
he did well. Good job to get it into the pits. No doubt about that. It instantly looked like it was a driveline issue. Not the way you would have wanted to be down here, but your first two headline IMSA races, 36 hours of racing. Obviously, you haven't done it all in Florida. Rolex 24, and now a bit of Sebring as well. What do you reckon to 2022, and how have you felt about the season and about your own performance in that NTE Lamborghini?
I mean, it's been Daytona in itself was a big learning curve because we pretty much got the car essentially like a week before Daytona, so we haven't had any time to do any testing with it, but I think we made great strides throughout this weekend. pace was slowly getting there, and especially, I mean, I only got my one stint, but it just felt like I started kind of getting a grasp of what you need to get this Lamborghini to make the lap time. So I think the performance-wise, we're still learning as a team. We shouldn't put too much pressure on ourselves because, I mean, it's the first full year for NTE, even without me trying to do a full season in IMSA. So just take everything, look at all the positives, just keep progressing each round and hopefully build up the program so by the end we know what we have.
Great opportunity, great learning, as you rightly say. Night practice, Thursday night, how cool was that?
Night practice was something special. I was still getting my feet down, kind of, because I mean, I had only been to Sebring the one other time in the Pilot Challenge race in 2020, so I was still kind of getting a grasp of where I should put my car, especially in turn 17 in the GT3 car with all the aeros. So I was still kind of getting a feel for the line, and then taking away a good chunk of my visibility and still trying to figure stuff out made it really exciting. But I mean, so far it's been amazing, the last two races in Florida, and the crowd here at Sebring's been amazing. It's like
It's like a rock festival, isn't it? It's that kind of vibe.
Yeah, it's definitely a rock festival vibe. I mean, I was going around the track walk on Wednesday, and some of the stuff that you see that they've built out there just to watch the race is amazing. So it's like you head out on an outlap, and it's like rows and rows of RVs and trailers and just fans lining the fence all the way around the entire track. So it's an amazing environment here. I've been enjoying it a lot.
Have you headed over to Green Park to have a look around over there?
I haven't. I wanted to head over last night during the end of the WEC race, but unfortunately
the weather kind of
caught us out. So I was looking forward to heading over there at night, seeing some of the end of the WEC cars in the dark. It's always fun. Wanted to head down to 7, see some glowing brakes, some fire out the exhaust. But, I mean, unfortunately, the weather caught us out there.
And Tristan Nunez's concert, too. I don't even know whether he did anything.
I don't think they did. So when do we next see you in the IMSA paddock and on the IMSA tracks?
Ideally, hopefully, by Long Beach, we'll put something together. So working on that with the team, seeing what's possible. But ideally, we want to be doing the full championship this year. And I definitely hope to be at Long Beach as one of my home races. So I haven't raced back in California in a long time. So I'd really be looking forward to racing.
That'd be a heck of a thing in terms of three very different tracks. High Banks of Daytona for 24. The bumps of Sebring for 12. All right, I accept you're not getting to the end of that. And then a street race for 100 minutes at Long Beach. That's variety for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely being baptism by fire. So we're slowly learning the car, but every time you learn something new, you go to such a different circuit that you're almost starting from zero again. But, I mean, I welcome the challenge. If you could persevere through such a diverse kind of track, scenarios, and just different situations, that just helps you build yourself as a driver. And that just one more thing to keep in your pocket for wherever you race.
Well, it's great that you came over to see us, and sorry that you have been able to talk to us. It would have been much better if we'd been talking to you out on the track, but I'm glad you've taken something positive from your IMSA experience here at the Mobile 1 12 Hours of Sebring. Let's hope we're talking about you and not to you when you get to Long Beach. Good luck for the rest of the season, Jin.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate it.
Always good to have you here. Jin Conright with us again. And, well, building experience all the time here. Into the pit lane for the leader, Earl Bamber, Cadillac Racing. Joe Bradley down in the pit lane. And he comes in. Looks like he's not moving, but he's getting a set of tyres for his next part of the stint. No thought of it. Maybe a little bit close to the wall there, Jeremy.
Yeah, great stint there by Earl Bamber. Yeah, a couple of laps ago, he turned a lap that was within hundredths of a second of that car's best lap of the race, which was set by Neil Jarny a little while ago. A really, really good first stint. He extended his lead from, it was about 4 seconds at one stage when the after the number 48 car came in the pit. So when he took the lead, the gap was about 6 seconds to number 5. It's now 14 seconds to number 5 car before he ducked into the pit lane just now.
Just had a question about a couple of cars, the number 27 and the 6 of Merlin Motorsports. 6 of Merlin Motorsports was in the wall a very long time ago, and I don't think we've seen that car back out again, have we, the Decay? And that was Harry Gottsecker, who went into the wall at turn 17
That's been retired.
74 car behind, behind the wall and into the pits. I'll get back to that question in a moment. This is Kai van Berlo. He was right at the sharp end of LMP3 and he's behind the wall going back to their awning area.
That car was only in the pit 6 or 7 laps ago. That does not look good. As you say, right back to the garage area. He'd lost the lead, but he was holding on in third position. But clearly, a major problem for that 74 Hunting Ranch entry. And that's they won just about everything last season.
Side by side contact with the number six.
Number nine,
excuse me.
Yeah.
So not the number six, the number nine. That was the contact. And there's damage to the rear of the car. In fact, that there's water coming out of that car. So that was the side by side contact. So that was a side by side contact with the Pfaff Motorsports driveway Porsche, which is sitting in sixth position. Mathieu Jaminet got sideswiped. That'll be looked at, I think. There. So sorry. Whoever was asking that, looking at the number upside down, it wasn't the Müller Motorsport car that had a problem earlier on. It was the number 9 Pfaff Porsche. So that's what's happened there. And the aggressor has gone behind the wall, I would think, when that car comes in. Meantime, the Riley Motorsport 74 Ranch Resort car also behind the wall. Pit stops at the sharp end of the field. Loic Duval back out in the JDC Miller Motorsports Cadillac. Ollie Jarvis goes out in the 60 Acura for Shank. And Mike Conway has changed. He's now Pipo Durrani. And Pipo's just come out in the number 31 wheel in engineering. Those are the top, or were the top three cars when they came into the pit lane.
And I think they came in just a little bit earlier than they would have originally anticipated. Perhaps in anticipation there might have been a full course caution. They'd seen the number 02 car was in the previous lap, and with that debris and fluid out on the racetrack, maybe they thought it was going to be a full course caution. In case there was, bring it on to pit lane.
22 laps for Earl Bamber in the 02 Cadillac. It was 20 laps for Mike Conway, 21 laps for Mearshank Racing's Acura and Ollie Jarvis. But Richard Westbrook, you're right, only 19 laps when he came into the pit lane. But they're very much of a muchness on the actual pit lane strategy at the moment, with Ollie Jarvis in second place, 7.2 seconds behind. New fastest lap for Guido van der Garde, and that's the quickest LMP2 lap as he's trying to chase down a podium position for Racing Team Netherlands. 148.311 from Guido van der Garde for Racing Team Netherlands.
And that is a new lap record for LMP2. The record did stand to Scott Huffaker last year for PR1 Matheson Motorsports at 148.311 then for the Dutchman Guido van der Garde. Wow.
Still pacing the track. I did the cars then, Jeremy. I mean, you know, you talked about the happy hour. Temperatures are dropping a little bit.
Yeah.
Track temp down to about 23 degrees Celsius. Air temp still a bit toasty, 31. That's in the 90s Fahrenheit. But it's certainly a lot nicer than it was for the Michelin tyres earlier on. Porsche keys to the race. Get to the darkness hours with a decent car. Be fast. Make sure you've got some tyres left. Manage the traffic and no mistakes or penalties. Very few cars can say they've been penalty free this time.
Nineteenth lead change then, with that just one lap in the lead for number 5 car of Richard Westbrook before handing over that car to Loic Duval. And the number 48 Cadillac now resumes its position at the front of the field before its last stop, which is it's quite a bit out of sequence with the other contenders in the DPI class, primarily because they were trying to get some points. They stopped relatively early after the full course caution, thinking that the other guys in front of them might have to stop, in which case they would perhaps vault to the front and get maximum points in that number 48 car. It didn't quite happen, but the car is back in the lead now, and Kobayashi has been turning some really, really good laps. And the gap, but having said that, the gap from the number 48 to the number 02, which is the same positions those two were in before the number 48 initiated that round of pit stops, it was about 10 seconds between them then. It's now only less than four between the number 48 and the number 02.
Quick, again, people joining us all the time, just over 3 hours to go. Cars that have had problems today, the Ligier, Jarrett Andretti and Andretti Autosports, problems with the engine when they're trying to fire it up on the pre-grid, and that car only did one lap before it went behind the wall. We've not seen it again. Accident damage for the 81 Dragon Speed car, Juan Pablo Montoya, with nowhere to go at turn one. Very unlucky. Lamborghini GT3 number 42, the NTE car, well, we heard about that was a clutch problem. That's not going any further. Harry Gottsacker in the wall at turn 17 for the number 6 Dakin Engineering. Also problems for both of the Heart of Racing Aston Martins, although I think at least the 27 is running again. In fact, no, they're both running again, those cars. Ian James in the 27 and Maxime Martin in the 23. They both were behind the wall at one stage, as was the BMW number 25. John Edwards has got that car running again. It was a steering rack, power steering issue. Who else had problems? 57, the Winward Racing car, that was behind the wall at least once as well. So there's been a number of problems for cars throughout the field, but only the four retirements, that being the Duquesne Engineering number 6, Lamborghini Ericsson from MTE, officially retired this is, the Dragon Speed number 81, and that Jarrett Andretti Autosports car.
And Obamba now is trying his best to track down Kamui Kobayashi. We talked about the fact that out of sequence slightly, but he's made up 8 seconds on the track compared to Kobayashi over the course of the last 12, 13 laps, and is now just a second and a half behind that Ganassi car. The Cadillac, the number 02, is right there, the Cadillac accessories machine.
Quintilla, cog and roll, the number 10, needs a yellow flag, doesn't it? You need a full course caution, I think.
Yeah, we really need a yellow, because we're about a minute 10 down. We're not going to make that up, you know, on the track. It's all about track position in these races. And so hopefully we'll have another yellow. We've had about 5 or 6 already. So if we get a yellow, we'll be back intact.
Yeah, just to remind everybody, the number 10 falling out of contention because Will missed the tyre. Tell us about what... It's the RFID, isn't it, on the Michelin tyres? Tell our listeners, what exactly is that with?
He didn't drive through it, he drove around it. Yeah. I have no idea why.
What is it for? Is it something, what does it monitor? What does it monitor, that section?
Well, no, I mean, it just triggers that the car's left the pit lane, and so he went around it.
Right. I see.
So for that, he got a drive-through. So we got the drive-through, and we lost all this time.
There's plenty of time for a yellow win. If anybody can bring it back, you guys can. Yeah. Sports car's never been healthier. Sports car racing has never looked healthier, looking towards next year. I'm excited. I'm sure you are.
No, it's, you know, in all my 35 years here in America racing sports cars, I've never seen any future like I see here now. And all the manufacturers around the world seem to be all on the same page. Probably have more manufacturers than sports cars have ever had in the history. And we can race here and we can race there. And that, I think, is really neat. So, you know, our plan is obviously to get to the LMDH. We'll be getting the car sometime this year. We'll be doing a lot of testing and stuff for next year. And then... You know, I think slow slowly but surely more cars will come in 24 because it's been difficult for getting components and getting stuff made with what's going on in Ukraine.
Yeah.
It slowed everything down.
Yeah.
But the fact is that we're still going to be doing LMD8 and Hypercar in 2023.
When do you get the Orica? Because it's Orica that's building the Acura for you guys.
I think we get it in and around June sometime, so it's not too bad. When we did the Cadillac back in 2017, we got that in September, and we were able to come out on the box and win five in a row. So that's what we're aiming for.
And is it the Konica Minolta team that will do the development and the testing, or is there, again, a partnership approach to that?
Oh, there's a very big partnership between us, HPD, and Orica. Plus, we're building a development team of mechanics and engineers as well, so because we'll be racing and testing. I think there's some part of the year where I think we're going to be on the road for 7 weeks.
When is it at times like this that you think, I wish I was young again and I could drive? I know I do all the time.
Fuck, you know, I don't know.
Of course you do. Tell us the truth.
No, you know, honestly, I don't. But I don't know if you know this, but I just recently bought a Formula One Wolf that Jody Scheckter drove. And getting it renovated, and I plan to do some racing in that. But I wouldn't want to get in these cars anymore because I know what it takes, the fitness level and everything like that, and I'm too bloody old.
Yeah, I didn't mean that. I meant a magic wand would take 30 years of us all. So you've got a WR1, is it? It's the one that they've won in Argentina.
I'm not sure, but I know that Jody drove it in Canada. I know Keke Rosberg drove it. And then they sold it to Theodore, and Desiree Wilson won the Aurora race, the only woman to ever drive. And
it almost won the international trophy with Rosberg. Oh, hang on, I'll zip up my anorak.
Yeah, no, I...
Just talk amongst yourselves, everybody. When are you going to talk historic Formula One?
I didn't hear all that, but I'll just tell you that I'm more excited about driving this car than anything right now. I mean, it's just delirious. I'm delirious. I'm like a child.
Mate, I'm excited, more excited about you driving that car.
Yeah.
Smile, we're on camera. Thanks, Wynn.
Bradley on historic Formula One, and that's his third level course in the Open University. Thank you, Joseph. Well, the old Wolf FW1, that'll scratch the itch, no doubt about it. Let's get to the front of the field, where Cameron Kobayashi has been hunted down by Earl Bamber, and they go through the hairpin in front of the hotel pretty much together. What, 5, 6, 7 car lengths between them, Jeremy? Much more than that.
There was 0.011 as they crossed the finish line, so they must have been absolutely alongside each other. But Kobayashi has managed to hold on to the lead, but for how much longer? Coming up for just over 3 hours remaining, 3 hours and 7 minutes, John, remaining.
This is Earl Bamber in his absolute pomp. We know what he can do behind the wheel of a prototype former Porsche factory driver, drafted into this team at late notice, remember, last year, ahead of his planned insertion into the Cadillac squad. Jumped into the car at Motul Petit Le Mans at Michelin Raceway Road, Atlanta. Sniff of the lead, yes please. Kobayashi will be pitting in a couple of laps. Earl Bamber will assume the lead when that happens. He's only been out there for 7 laps, but I'm sure he'll want to do this and stamp the authority on the track. Goes around the outside of the Autobahn. Lamborghini very close to the wall on the exit of turn 17 for Bamber, but that's all right. He's lost a little bit of a gap, but now it's Kobayashi who's going to have to deal with traffic. And here comes Bamber. He sees an opportunity. Round the Lexus to the inside. The wins number 52 LMP2 car now holding up the leader, and Bamber's right there. In front of that, it's the Aston Martin, I think, of the Magnus number 44 team. No, excuse me, it was the 57 Winwood car. Back on the track again, down towards the hairpin. Ranch 74 car needs to stay out of the way, and does. Nice bit of driving from everybody concerned. Now, through the little kinks, through 8 and 9. Super quick through here. Absolutely flat. Foot pinned to the floor. There's a little thought of going down the inside from Bamba. A little lock-up from both of them there. They're really pushing. It's really bumpy there, particularly if you go to the middle or the right-hand side of the road into Turn 10. Oh, there's a bit of... Is that a bit of brake dust or is that something else from the Ally Cadillac? That's very odd.
I saw that as it was heading into the hairpin to Turn 7 on this lap as well, to keep an eye on that one. Good job there to get inside the BMW. Currently, that's number 25 car, isn't it? That's when it's a long, long way back, but still running.
So now onto the Ullman straight, and ahead of them, more traffic. First car that they will get to is the TR3 Lamborghini. The bright green car is just ahead of them as they turn in. Huge amount of pace taken into that turn 17. That is a thing of absolute awe and wonder. Starting to get the golden hour now as we're just after 7 o'clock down towards turn one. Again, no cars between them. Battle for the lead with 3 hours and 4 minutes to go. Next little crop of cars has the number 93, I think it is. Yes, it is. Right ahead of them. That is the Racer's Edge Acura. That's the next car. But there's three or four of them before the hairpin. Now, where does the leader go? Down to the outside. Does Earl Bamba follow through? No, he does not. He wasn't confident enough of the fact that the 93 saw what was going on. Meantime, turn 7, the McLaren number 59 has been off course, so that's right ahead of this battle for the lead. And again, there's something coming off the Ally Cadillac every time Kami Kobayashi hits the brake pedal. Oh, Bamba is absolutely carving his way through here. I think Kobayashi will peel off this time into the pit lane, but Bamba's pushing him all the way. Just over 3 hours to go. There'll be another change of lead at the end of this lap, I'm fairly certain of it. Bamba held up a little bit, ironically, by a Porsche, his former employers, as they go on to the Alec Ullman straight. Sun in their faces now, and the leader in GT D Pro, John Taylor, is the next car that Kobayashi has to go around. Now, does he stick to the right-hand side and pull the car tight into the pit lane? I think he is. Yes, he is, as we thought. So through goes Bamba. Another change of lead for Jeremy Shaw to document. And
number 20.
And car 20, the high-class racing car, has gone off at turn one. Now, that would have been exciting. Meantime, the Ally Cadillac is down towards Joe Bradley for the pit stop and a driver change. Joe, are you getting in?
That car, but it's doubtful whether I'd ever get out again. The number 48 in from that battle, a fantastic battle, wasn't it? It was like a 10-lap sprint race, wasn't it? If you tuned in now, you'd think, oh, this is a 10-lap sprint. No, there's still 3 hours, and we've been going for 9 hours. Prior to that, we've got a driver change, like you said, John. We've had a rip off the windscreen. The fueling's gone in. The pit stop is done, apart from the fueling. As ever, fueling taking the longest. Not sure who got in. You'll know in a moment when it clicks through that gate, as Wayne Taylor described.